Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So last Sunday over at Living Hope, and I know some of you were there, I started the sermon by wondering how you would answer if someone asked you who God is, what God is like. And I said there were a lot of different places you could start in answering that question. You could start with creation or the church, maybe with a philosophical argument, or you could start where Jesus often does, with parables, these stories revealing something of God's character. So last week's stories were about God seeking us out and finding us, about God being persistent and rejoicing like a shepherd who finds his missing sheep or a woman who finds her lost coin. And the message of those parables is that God cares about you personally. God loves you and rejoices when you are found, and love is foundational to who God is. Today, we're going to look at a different aspect of who God is, or maybe not exactly different, but a particular aspect, a particular angle of God's love. And so today's message is God cares about justice. Now, that is not particularly clear from this parable in Luke. In fact, I think this story about a dishonest, scheming manager who somehow gets commended is one of Jesus' most confusing parables. There are lots of interpretations out there. I've read about how it could be about the practice of charging oppressive interest rates and criticizing that, or it could be about the stereotype in Jewish literature about praising trickster figures, people who get out of tricky situations by using their wits cleverly. And if you have a favorite interpretation, if this is your favorite parable in the Bible, talk to me afterwards. I would love to hear what you do with it. I think this story is confusing. The Amos reading, on the other hand, the first one Robin read, is much more straightforward. That does not mean it's easy to follow, but it's much more straightforward to understand. So Amos, that's the one we're going to talk about. Amos, like much of the Bible, is concerned with the just treatment of the least of these. And several times in the last few weeks, we've heard Jesus talk about paying special attention to people in need, people who are poor, crippled, lame, blind, the people that the world says are not valuable. Our society says that those people don't matter, like the person outside your window as you're driving by. The world says that their voices don't need to be heard. And yet throughout the Bible, we hear that God has a different idea. Like we learned last week, God cares even for one missing sheep, for one lost coin. God seeks out those who are lost, who are suffering, those who are oppressed or alone. In Psalm 113, it is 113, not 3, that was my typo. That's why I'm not the one usually in the office. In Psalm 113, we hear that God is the one who raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. The Lord gives the barren woman a home. These people, the ones that our world overlooks, God sees. God cares about justice. Now, I'm guessing that most of us do not know a whole lot about Amos. Amos was a prophet during a time of prosperity in Israel, a time when the farms are producing, many are prospering, life is good, inflation's low, there's no recessions, life is good. And in this time of prosperity, people are starting to value money and wealth and prosperity more than God, starting to trust in their wealth. And when you start to trust in wealth, you realize pretty quickly that you don't have enough of it. There's never enough wealth to be satisfied. And so the rich get richer, and they mistreat the poor. They forget about justice and treating others right, and they instead only worry about how they can get wealthier. And so, into this world, along comes Amos, who sees the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, and he writes, "Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land." Strong words. These are people who are supposedly religious, supposed to be God's chosen people, And they celebrate the religious festivals. They do all the things, but not sincerely. They miss the point. In Jewish tradition at that time, one example, the last month, the last day of the month is supposed to be celebrated as a Sabbath day. And the point of a Sabbath day is that everybody gets a day of rest, time to worship. But it's also established as a tool for justice. Because on a Sabbath day, no one works, not even the poor laborers. Having a Sabbath day gives those who need it most a chance to breathe. Isn't it sad how much we've lost that idea of Sabbath? Amos points out, though, that for the rich, the Sabbath is mostly just an obstacle, something in the way, something that gets in the way of their money-making. Instead of looking to help the poor as God desires and commands, instead of resting on the Sabbath and using this to celebrate God and think about what God has done and be grateful, they ask, when will the new moon, that end of month Sabbath day, be over so that we may sell grain? And the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? When's it going to be over? When can we go back to doing business? If you ever think the Bible doesn't have much to say to us today, look at this passage and look at who has to work in our society on the Sabbath. Of course, there are people we always need to be working, like doctors, nurses, police, emergency vets, that sort of thing. But look who else is working. Look at who does not get regular time off. Often it's the people who can't afford not to work. The wealthier that you are, the more likely you are to have a job with vacation time, regular hours, fair pay. And these are not easy problems to fix, and I'm not proposing any particular solution, but pay attention to the world around us. Notice who's exploited. We've come a long way since Amos' day, and yet love of money is still one of our biggest problems, right? Amos goes on to accuse the rich of only caring about money and profit, so much so that they are willing to cheat to make more, because people are often at their most creative when money's at stake, right? And so they say, we will make the ephah small and the shekel great and practice deceit with false balances. So the ephah and the shekel are measurements, and in a society, especially a society based on trading, fair trade, measures are really important, because the only way fair trade happens is if everyone knows how much a shekel is. When you have a penny, you know it's worth a penny, no matter where you go. Today, we deal with this through government regulations, right? And say what you want about big government. I appreciate the government checks that weights and measurements are accurate. When you go to the gas station, you can see that little blue sticker that says, this pump has been inspected by weights and measures from the State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Not a very flashy department. Important, though. Because we need to know that when we pay for a gallon of gas, we get a gallon of gas. Selling a bushel of corn only works if you can trust that it's actually a bushel and you're not getting cheated on how many bushels you have. And that is what these people in Amos's day are doing. They're looking for more ways to cheat the poor because they don't see them as people, but as sources of profit. And God does not approve. Amos comes to give a warning, to call for the nation, for the people to repent. Within just a few decades of Amos speaking against these practices, the northern kingdom of Israel historically is going to fall to the Assyrian Empire. They'll be captured. Their actions have consequences. This selfishness, only looking out for themselves rather than caring about the fortunes of their neighbors, that is what the prophets say leads to Israel's downfall. Does any of this sound familiar? Does any of this sound at all like life today? I don't know if I've mentioned this before in a sermon or not, but Kristen will attest, I'm a bit of a news junkie. I pay pretty close attention to politics, current events, the NFL, business events, especially technology news. And so I want to share with you a few stories, a few headlines that I saw this week, and these are actually all just from Wednesday. Amazon is being sued by the state of California for raising prices by forbidding sellers from selling at lower prices elsewhere. The guy behind the Fire Festival, who defrauded thousands of people in 2017, is out of jail talking about starting some new tech business to repay the $25 million he owes in restitution. The European Union is fining Google 4.1 billion euros for bundling Google Search and Chrome in their Android phones. Texts released in a lawsuit reveal that Brett Favre might know more than he claimed about millions of dollars intended for welfare, helping the poor, in Mississippi that instead went to build a new volleyball facility at the University of Southern Mississippi. And that one hurts because I grew up with a poster of Brett Favre in my bedroom. A teenage human trafficking victim in Iowa who fought back and stabbed her accused rapist to death has been ordered to pay $150,000 to his family as required by state law. Again, these are all just from Wednesday. There's a lot more we could look at in the headlines. A couple of particular ones I was tempted to look at in the headlines this week. There is plenty of injustice in our world. There is plenty of greed and corruption. What would Amos say? And again, I don't have answers to these situations. Some of these are very political questions, and I'm skeptical of political solutions to human greed. I do believe that our faith should influence the way that we vote, and I think God cares about how we approach these structural issues. But ultimately, this is a challenge to us. As followers of Jesus, it starts with us. We are called to care about what God cares about. Reflecting God's love includes working for God's justice. We are called to treat others, the rich, the poor, our friends, our enemies, as children of God. We are called to use all of our wits, all of our energy, to engage in the same work that God is engaged in. And I think that that is what that confusing parable in Luke is about. Jesus is not saying that we are to act dishonestly, but rather, I think he's saying, if people can be this clever in pursuit of money and wealth, trying to build their own little world, we can be even more clever, even more wise, even more shrewd, acting with integrity and working for justice. And as we're exploring what God is like, these readings, at least to me, feel like a bit of whiplash from last week's readings, the stories of a loving God seeking us and bringing us home by grace. But justice is a part of love. God's love changes us. When we are found knowing that we are loved, that sets us free to work for justice and to care about these problems around us. We are called to be creative, passionate, persistent in working for God's mission, building God's kingdom, serving God who loves us rather than serving wealth, shining God's light into this world that so desperately needs it. May God bless the work that we do in Jesus' name. And may our work always be for God's glory and not for ours. Amen.